Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits the non-traditional gallery setting. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Well, good morning and welcome to another episode and listening session of Tactical Urbanism, Art and Placemaking. We had scheduled this listening session with Mr. Lewis, and he is an artist in the community, also a spoken word, a lyricist, and we will do a little conversation about him. But first, the Creative Capital, the Creative Region Capital Corps is a program, a media and outreach engagement campaign. The Saturnah Druf African Heritage Museum will focus on social justice and community engagement with this project. And the objectives of the Capital Region Creative Core program are to create an economic and workforce development program and demonstrate how artists from multiple disciplines can be instrumental in developing and implementing critical campaigns to address our most pressing community issues. And each of the artists that are on our team talk about social justice, and they also are involved in activism. And Mr. Lewis, he's a rapper from Sacramento, California. He creates conscious hip-hop music that promotes optimism and productivity. He draws inspiration from positive lights in hip-hop such as Andre 3000, Dizzy Wright, Erykah Badu, Larry Jones, and Mike Jenkins. Mr. Lewis partnered with Sandy Holman of the Cultural Co-op for cross-generational collaboration to bring her written words to life. And today we have Sandy Holman on the line. Hi, Sandy.
Good morning to you. How are you doing?
Oh, I am fine. And you say good morning because you are in Sacramento on the West Coast, and I'm here in Chicago. And so it's like 11:30, and you're up and about, and I'm glad you're able to come on and talk about the work that you all are doing with this cross-generational collaboration.
It's my absolute pleasure, and I thank you for having me here again today. I'm really honored to be here.
Great. So you want to tell me a little bit about, you know, you can kind of tell me a little bit about yourself again and how you began this cross-generational project with Mr. Lewis.
Well, the Culture Co-op, I'm the director of the Culture Co-op, and I have a nonprofit called United in Unity. And the mission of that is to promote systemic change, equity, cultural competency, inclusion, literacy, and a quality education for all. And as I was sharing in our prior discussion with each other, our whole goal is to work with a variety of age groups, and in particularly to work across generations so that young people are uniquely situated to hit the ground running. In other words, you and I, Apple, are about the same age. We've lived a while. We've learned some lessons. We've learned wisdom. We've, you know, even have learned best practices. And the younger generation that is coming up when it is our time to transition away, we want them to be able to hit the ground running and not start from number one when we've ended our, you know, powerful impact at 100. So I've always, in the work that I do, and we do a variety of things utilizing the art, have sought out to work with young people across generations so that we can learn. And that's how Mr. Lewis and I came together. He is in his 30s and a brilliant, I call him young Imhotep because he's a brilliant artisan. Not only does he do hip-hop music, conscious hip-hop music, meaning not using a lot of cuss words. Yes, it does matter. There's a vibration with that energy. I'm not using the N-word. Yes, it does matter. There's a vibration and a historical destructiveness that goes with the word, and we don't have time to talk about that today. But doing things that, quite frankly, the radio industry keeps off the radio. because they make more money off of destructive kinds of music. So you have Mr. Lewis, who really prides himself around building the culture. He wants to do things that build the culture. And I had the fortunate blessing of meeting him when I saw him performing at an event, and I wanted to give some historical lessons through music, and he and I started talking ability of that.
I know Shona McDaniel, the executive director of the Sojourner Truth African Heritage Museum, speaks really highly of him and also of the video work that he does, and she's looking forward, you know, to the, you know, talent that he's bringing to our team and the resources that he's bringing to our team, you know, and being that, you know, again, that spoken word artist in a positive light, and that's what the museum, you know, is all about. And he was there last Saturday for Women's Her Story Month there at Sojourner Truth, and we'll say Sojo so that I don't say this long name. We all our name for Sojourner Truth African Heritage Museum is Sojo, and you were also a presenter last week. You know, let's talk about that. I know that it was very impactful. I did get a chance to see it on Facebook Live. You know, and I'm really excited to see the finished product that Mr. Lewis will be doing in terms of the video documentation that he's creating for the museum.
Well, Mr. Lewis is quite generous in saying the impact that Shona in particular had on his life and the African marketplace in general and Sojo Museum. And so he's always gracious in saying, you know, if it wasn't for Shona and you, I'm not sure, you know, if I would have the knowledge that I have about our history, our culture, and some of the things that he's saying. So one of the things I love about him is he shows reverence and respect. And yes, multi-talented young man who I call Imhotep. As you guys know, Imhotep was the world's first multi-genius, contrary to what we've been taught. So he's a videographer. He just wrote a cookbook. He is a hip-hop artisan doing that edifying rap. He does, there's so many other things that he does. I'm just trying to, you know, get my mind actually wrapped around it. But last week, he came to support the Her Story event that Shona had at the Sojo Museum. It was really an honor to go in there and see the tea discussion that Escape Velocity had. I went into this room. It was just beautiful with this setting. That was going to be a facilitated experience where women would have the opportunity to talk about things of concern on them. And then she invited me to be a part of the day, and I just had such a tremendous time along with a lot of people who were invited guests to come. And then we had the incredible Mariana who went after me. And, you know, it just, you know how you have those times, Alpha, where things seem to align, because there was a lot going on behind the scenes that people didn't know that could have actually pulled that day down, but it didn't. Mr. Lewis stepped in. He videotaped the whole event. Shona was there. My nephews came, and they were tremendously helpful at 11 and 12, the reminder that we can grab young people into these kinds of things and engage them in healthy ways, which I was excited to see happen, because as a part of the grant and Sojo and under Sojo, we'll be doing workforce development in May, June, and July. But the day was just transcendent. There was something in the air. There's always something in the air when you have beautiful minds with beautiful intentions and beautiful artisans come together with their unique offerings and their knowledge and in the right spirit. And then people who are coming who are in a special place wanting to some edification, open to hearing new things, that happens. And I think on that day, it was just a tremendous model of young people, you know, from all the way to elementary school to young adults like Mr. Lewis and others that were in there. Yaya was in there, other folks that were doing great things, and I can't remember everyone's name because we were so busy setting up, helping to put out things. But then also, you know, Shona herself, and of course she adds a special kind of energy when she comes into the room that's just extraordinarily beautiful. And then being in the museum, I mean, the museum is just breathtaking. So anyone who came in to those presentations, they had the opportunity to kind of at least do a walkthrough to the museum. And the altar room, which they recently just took down, that they had put up in December, was just exquisite. I mean, that alone gave me chills because I hadn't seen that installation yet. And then, you know, even right now, they have the barber, the hair installation that they're encouraging everyone to see. I'm looking forward to seeing that. But the presentations for Her Story Month went well. The people received it well. The vibration was beautiful. Mr. Lewis was, all of us worked hard that day. All of us worked hard several hours that day to make sure that the event was a success. And I think it was. And so, and I've been hearing really great things from the participants who were there on that day. So it was an honor to be able to introduce Sona to people that were at my session, at least. I didn't get a chance to check with her. I just said, Sona, could you come here for a second? And, you know, they just loved meeting her because a lot of people that were in my session had heard me talk about her profusely and her artwork. So that was exciting. And then Mariana, like I said, everyone was just amazing and did what needed to be done to make it a wonderful experience.
Well, and I'm really glad you were able to, you know, come in and bring so much positive energy to the project. You know, as we know that there's so much going on, the museum just opened its doors in 2021 to the expanded space. And Shona's always been doing social justice and being an activist in our community. She is an artist herself, first and foremost, and she has been doing programming in South Sacramento. She grew up in South Sacramento, you know, went to Luther Burbank, you know, there's a Rosa Park, it was Gady, you know, middle school. Now it's Rosa Park. She grew up in South Sacramento, and it's been her dream, you know, to have a museum, and she's opened it after COVID, opened up the doors to an expanded space, and everything you see is from donations that have been given to the museum over the years from major collections in the Bay Area and, you know, Southern California and the Central San Joaquin Valley. Collectors have just said, hey, you know, especially during COVID, where she got more donations, you know, from collectors, and they were looking at their lives and what's going to happen to our collection. So the museum is able to be a repository for all of these artifacts that you see. And so many people do not know about Sojo. They might have visited 10 years ago or 5 years ago before, you know, COVID, and they only saw the small space she was operating in and running a murals program, and everything was just in that less than 800 square feet, including the office. And so everything you see now, like where the altar rooms were the space where the museum was. That was it.
Yes.
The other gift shop was the office area. So, you know, she had a lot of storage still. You know, we're looking to expand not only in the current location, but she's actually looking at doing a capital campaign to get a larger building because she has so much, so many artifacts and people, you know, that are passing on and making sure that their artwork is in collection, you know, of the museum throughout not only Sacramento, but, you know, throughout the United States and California. The museums are collecting a lot of work. So to have the whole intergenerational part of this, there were senior citizens that were at the Her Story Day, you know, so you had this whole mix of energy that was in the room that is constantly, you know, feeding and loving the vibration that happens in the museum, and then also making sure that legacies are, you know,
absolutely.
So
oh, no, I was just going to say, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, actually, Sona at Sojo has set up something that's unique because I've been to a lot of museums, including, you know, some of the bigger ones at the Smithsonian, like the Holocaust Museum. one thing that COVID showed that I don't think a lot of museums were doing, by the way, and because she combines activism with the work that she does and the fact that she's an incredible artist in herself. You know, I remember when everyone else was sheltering down and everything, Shona was making sure that people were getting food. She was trying to arrange things for the community that she served. And I've grown up in the same community, by the way. I lived in Sacramento. I have over 300 relatives, at least 30 of which went to Luther Burbank. I was at Hiram Johnson, and we would play them in sports. But she did something that I want to talk about when we have our next listening session on April the 2nd, because I felt like her museum was a model of what museums can do besides just archive great collections that are sitting in a room that a lot of people won't go to, which is why she puts a lot of effort in getting people to come, because it is a really unique combination of experience intertwined with social justice, intertwined with community engagement and action. How many museums do you know around our country or even the world did what Shona was trying to do as a representative, as an artisan, but also as a curator of a museum where she was still trying to engage people, do educational things for them? And she did this at great risk to herself. It was an amazing feat. So I really encourage people on April 2nd to listen into the listening session, because we're going to talk about museum culture in general and some of the origins of that. But we're also going to talk about how SOJO is an incredible model of how museums can up the level of impact and engagement at a time when it is so much needed. We can't afford to be docile little entities where it's all about just seeing something in a museum. Hers is a total engagement experience. That's how I would describe it. So that day was magnificent. And many of the people I know that were in my group and probably the others were saying, I did not know this existed. I would say to them, well, I've told you about it many, many times. What do you think I was saying? They said, well, now I see what you're talking about. And hopefully a couple of them will come back. But that sense of taking our libraries, taking museums, taking archival institutions in general, and making them something that is useful to the community in their experience and learning about history and culture and art, but also in making sure we're advocating for social justice and community is just so needed, and it's so well done at the African Marketplace. And I hope she gets a bigger space because she needs a bigger space. I don't know her total vision, but I know it's huge, and I know it's going to be impactful because what she's done so far has just been amazing.
Especially during that time, she called me up, I'm the research and development consultant there at the museum. And, we have a long history dating back to the early 90s, in terms of programming there in Sacramento as artists and, doing exhibitions and creating opportunities for artists, doing residencies in schools and communities. And so her focus has been art education all along, and during after-school programming and even in the smaller workspace, taking and working in the community and even creating the work that adorns the hallways and there at the African Marketplace, which is the Florin Road. In the day it was the incubator and now it's Florin Square, which is labeled as the Black metropolis of, Sacramento and the South Side right there. But it was those creations of looking at art and business, coming together, knowing that bringing the arts in there opened the doors for other entrepreneurs, small businesses, nonprofits to bring their, their companies there, and right now they have almost 200 African-American minority-owned businesses right there in the square. And that's why SOJO is such a hidden gem, because when you come in, you just think about the marketplace. You just think about, you know, the other, you know, businesses. And then when you venture back, you do see the museum. And when you open, go inside the door, it's that I know when I flew out to see it, it was like, what? I mean, we've been writing about this. We've been raising money to do this. But until you actually are on the ground and immersed in the experience in the museum is when you really get that look. And the other thing that is in the development of the museum is the workforce, you know, and we talk about building an agile workforce and what agility means in workforce and making sure that we have young people that are interns, that are docents, that are learning museum practice. We had attended a national conference for America museums. And one of the things that they had in the breakout sessions was the lack of and the need to reach out to those 30-year-olds, you know, and bring them into the museum practice because and library, you know, service because we were losing so many that were nutritioning out of, you know, of the system and out of the practice because they're retiring. And we really yes. need to fill slots. And then we also, I know the museum in St. Louis is the same with having curators and museum administrators fellowships are being offered. So at SOJO, we also are offering, you know, a fellowship under the Institute for Museum and Library Services, getting money to make sure we continue to have fellows and archivists doing this work. So we
yes.
always have had this intergenerational approach to programming because we do need to train, you know, and have train our youth to have the resiliency to run programs and not just wait till they're
yes.
18 or 20 or 30, but give them the opportunities
no.
as and to learn our history while they're still little and they're still young and they're coming in and they're thirsty and they are, you know, sponging up everything, you know, when they come into the
yes.
museum.
Absolutely, and especially at a time when we're living, where we're seeing the banning of books, the banning of culture and history, the shrinking of museum culture, at least attempts to shrink it, because if it's teaching anything that goes beyond dominant culture, we're in a very precarious time that parallels some really horrible times in our global history with these kinds of things. And so it becomes even more vital what you're saying against the landscape of what we're seeing, that we have people from a variety of ethnicities and backgrounds with interests, starting them early across generationally, the older ministering and guiding and encouraging and inspiring these young folks. And I mean starting early, I believe starting in the womb, if you can even understand what I'm saying, but certainly when we're starting in kindergarten, laying these bugs for excitement about the library, about museums in these youngsters so that they want to be, step in and be the curators that they need to be to preserve culture, because we are absolutely in a social justice fight of many proportions on this level of things. So that's one thing that I love about Mr. Lewis. I love about Shona. It sounds like you do the same. And I'm definitely about across generations, which is why Mr. Lewis and I came together. He was committed to that. We wanted to do something using the arts, music, writing, drama, skits, you know, community interactive artistic moves, for lack of a better way to call it, to get people excited about learning about things like SOJO, about our history, about our culture, about who we were, so that they could lift their heads up higher and redefine what blackness has been defined as from a global perspective, which was pretty destructive. So I just had such a lovely time there. I'm having a lovely time as a part of the grant and this effort, and also as we do things that I really feel cross-pollinate. I work with young people. Also, Mr. Lewis works with young people in other capacities, and what a wonderful thing to see all these brilliant people coming together when possible to encourage and lift each other up in the work that we're trying to do that is so critical.
And you know, and I ditto that. I have an excerpt here from Mr. Lewis, and he says, I'm going to paraphrase him. He said, "We got to get the youth to understand that sex, money, and trying to fit in with everyone else just because that's what's cool come with so many energies and attachments that don't always keep you happy and move you forward. We got to do what works for us as individuals and as a family and not just be doing stuff because that's what we see everyone else doing. There's so much we got to say and stand firm on it." And that's an excerpt
yeah.
I took from one of his biographical profile that he submitted, on his onboarding documents. And so I thought that I would put that in as part of the description for the show today. And
it's right on point. It's right on point because I remember in Workforce when we did it with Shona, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, and I love that part he said about energies because I remember we were talking to the youth and even on the topic of sex, which, you know, their minds are occupied at this age. There's some normalcy about them being interested in it and being interested in other people and all that. However, in a sort of distorted culture, all of that has been taken out of stream. And I remember we talked about the energies that you want to be careful about inviting into yourself, whether it's sexually, emotionally, spiritually, that there are energies and vibrations that can be quite detrimental to your overall well-being. And I remember specifically saying an example like, you know, look at it like this. Every person, for those of you who are out there, we have frank discussions. One thing I love about the way Shona has set up the workshops, and I know how I do my own and Mr. Lewis does his when he's working in his capacity, is we are honest. We talk real with the kids. And I remember making the comment where I said, every person that you allow to enter your body physically, you are sleeping with, in a sense, all the people that they have slept with. And I remember seeing the kids' faces like, oh, my God, they had never thought about it like that. And then Mr. Lewis, he added on to it, being a younger person, even closer to their age. And I think it had an impact on them to think about that because they're just thinking about, you know, this one person or whatever. These lessons all tie in to engaging our community, using the arts, the word, videography. In this case, we are facilitating the Cost of Darkness documentary that deals with all kinds of topics and institutionalized oppression. And it just had an impact. So, I mean, I always say if I win the lottery, that Shona would be one of the first people I would support, and I mean that. The African marketplace in general and what it represents and other communities across the country who have that. Of course, my work would be included in that, which cross-pollinates. Mr. Lewis would be included in that. And Alpha, even as I see and hear what you're doing, I'm just really excited about the cohort of people. So I am hoping that anyone who hears this, who may know someone, supports all the artists that are part of this incredible effort, this consortium, this grant, this commitment to make a difference using social justice and the arts.
We just have a minute left, and I wanted to say that Mr. Lewis will design and conduct free workshops at the Martin Luther King Jr. Library this spring and summer. And he will utilize the Makerspace, a sound and recording studio, to create a workforce development project for Sojo's summer camp at MLK Junior Library for ages 14 to 20 to 21. So we're going to look for that, and also we'll be looking forward to looking at some of his video documentation that we brought him onto this project to do. And we have like 30 seconds left on this interview. It went really fast. And again, thank you for coming in and representing, you know, the work that both of you guys are doing together.
No, our pleasure to be here. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful rest of your week.
You too.
This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.